Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, Elisha and the widow's oil. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But a creditor has come to take my own children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. Then go in, shut the door behind you and your children, and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. Then the oil stopped flowing, but he said to her, "There are no more." She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, feeding the 5,000. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Happy 250th birthday, United States of America. This significant historic milestone only comes once every 250 years. No, I take it back. It happens only once in U.S. history. So enjoy this special blessing. Congratulations, and God bless America. Did I ever tell you that America literally means beautiful country in Korean? I'm sure Reverend Jaemon Lim and Mrs. Angela Lim and also James Son know. Is there anybody else speaking Korean? Okay, but anyhow, 미국 in Korean means beautiful country. When I was young, very young in Korea, my father taught me this meaning. So originally, this Korean word borrowed from Chinese characters. So because of this literal meaning, every Korean believes that America is a beautiful country. I still believe that America is indeed a beautiful country because of not only its land or nature, but also its people. Amazing, kind, and loving people like you. Yes, regardless of where our ancestors came from, all Americans today should be grateful and joyful to be part of this beautiful America. No wonder we have the well-known hymn entitled America the Beautiful, United Methodist Hymn number 696. The song begins with, "O beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain," and so forth. I'm sure you all know this beautiful song. Yes, America is a beautiful country, but as a matter of fact, we are just one of many other countries, to be exact, 195 countries. Of course, the USA is one of the biggest and strongest countries. Nevertheless, in order to truly become a beautiful country, we all must pursue peace, harmony, justice, and love together, not only among all Americans, but also with everyone in the whole world. In this sense, the ongoing 2026 FIFA World Cup is one of the best opportunities for the global community to be connected through the world's most popular sport, football. But in the U.S., it's called soccer. Of course, we all Americans are rooting for Team USA, but we also cheer for underdogs, but practically cheer for all teams. Last Wednesday, during round of 32, Team USA had a victory over Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0. So, since last Monday, round of 32, it's been knockout stage, meaning win or go home. So, tomorrow, Team USA will take on Belgium during round of 16. Go, Team USA. Is there any Belgium fan? Oh, no. Okay, good. Anyhow, this year's California Pacific Annual Conference was held in June during the 2026 FIFA World Cup season. The World Cup is still going on, and until the final match game scheduled on July 19th. Anyhow, here is one of the photos taken at the 2026 California Pacific Annual Conference in June. They all attended the conference as lay delegates and clergy members. From left, lay leader Chris Lufkin, Reverend Kate Hunter, who was the guest preacher last Sunday here, right? Greg Laid, me, Leslie Thompson, and Sophie Wise. During the annual conference, there were a great deal of worship services, meetings, legislation, voting, general and jurisdiction conference, delegates, elections, fellowships, ordinations, and many other blessings that we have shared. This year's conference theme was, again, ending physical and spiritual hunger, and this year's key word was astonish. Thanks to our lay leader, again, Chris Lufkin, who has written a wonderful report article entitled let us astonish the world in the Messenger newsletter. This morning, on the very Sunday of July, first Sunday of July, as I begin another new pastoral year of 2026-2027 with you, the congregation of First UMC of Riverside, I would like to share with you briefly three important highlights slash insights from the 2026 annual conference. Number one, this year, 2026, we, the United Methodist, are celebrating the 70th anniversary of women's ordination. Yes, this year marks the 70th anniversary of women's ordination, which is a significant milestone for all United Methodist Christians. In 1956, 27 women were received as full clergy members, ordained in full right in the United Methodist, in the Methodist Church at the time. As you know, that denomination later became the United Methodist Church in 1968. Of course, the Presbyterian Church of USA, PCUSA, also celebrates their 70th anniversary of ordaining women this year. Interestingly, the Lutheran Church USA first ordained women in 1970, and the Episcopal Church followed in 1974. Comparing with these two mainline denominations, that would, you know, and also other denominations, they would never ordain any woman in ministry. The people of the United Methodist Church were indeed trailblazers of faith in actions. In Galatians 3:28, Apostle Paul states that in Christ there is neither male nor female, which is interpreted as equal standing and opportunity for all spiritual callings. Of course, there are many other scripture bases that show it is a matter of God's calling and spiritual gift, not gender, in terms of ordained ministry. Our church is blessed with the wonderful connections and relationships with amazing women pastors. In the past, I'm sure you remember, you had the Reverend Melissa Rosler as an associate pastor. And also, I know you had Reverend Sheila Kane as an associate pastor for children's at the educational ministry too, before Melissa. Now, among us, we have wonderful retired women pastors, the Reverend Valerie Wise and the Reverend Beverly Divine. Reverend Beverly Divine is our church secretary also. And last Sunday's guest preacher was the Reverend Kate Hunter, the mother of Sophie. Is Sophie here? Okay. Well, it is Kate Hunter's very first service at the Redlands First UMC today. Yes, these women pastors are truly amazing and inspiring. And I am sure you might personally know other women UMC pastors. In this sense, we belong to an astonishing church that we all, both clergy and laity, work together as a faithful body of Christ, and we are grateful. Number two, starting next year, 2027, we will be committing ourselves to tithe apportionment as faithful stewards of God's kingdom. Our annual conference delegates approved this resolution, important resolution, with over 90% of the yes vote. So, as the result, starting January 2027, each local congregation of the California Pacific Conference will commit to give tithe apportionment, which is a new format based on the 10% of the church's income budget. Apportionment is the apportioned support fund that each local church gives to support our connectional church missions and ministries. Thank God our congregation gave 100% of our apportionment for 2025, and we were recognized during the East District gathering at the conference. This photo shows Greg Laird holding the certificate of 100% apportionment presented to First UMC of Riverside. Yes, congratulations. Let us give a big hand. Yes, yes. And thanks to you all for being a faithful congregation. So, because of this change, starting next year, while some churches will give more, some churches will remain the same, and some churches will give less than before. This newly approved tithing policy aligns with each local church's stewardship efforts and practices. And each and every congregation will be part of an astonishing conference that pursues faithfulness and fruitfulness in all our missions and ministries together. By God's grace, I am confident that the congregation of First UMC of Riverside, will also be faithful stewards of God's kingdom. Number three, now we, the church, are called to keep pouring the oil as an astonishing congregation. During the ordination service at the annual conference this year, we were blessed to have an astonishing guest preacher. The guest preacher was Bishop Dolores J. Williamstone of Louisiana Conference. Along with all other delegates, I was very much inspired by her sermon based on 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7, the famous and amazing miracle story of Elisha and the widow's oil. This 2 Kings passage is this morning's scripture reading, and we all know what miracle happened. I believe the key verse appears to be verse 6. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. When the son of the widow ran out of empty borrowed vessels, either jars or other containers, the oil stopped flowing. This miracle was limited only by her capacity to collect jars. The oil only stopped flowing when there were no more empty vessels. This illustrates that God's grace and supply are infinite and unlimited. However, these can be limited only by our faith and willingness to prepare for God's abundant blessing. So, one of the most important lessons and applications from this passage is that we are called to keep pouring the oil. The preacher, Bishop Dolores Williamstone, in her sermon at the conference, kept emphasizing that keep pouring your oil. If you stop pouring your oil, which might symbolize many important and essential things you already have, such as the core of your unwavering faith and love in actions and other fundamental spiritual things in your ministries and services, your plans, projects, and endeavors might be restricted, limited, and negatively impacted. This morning's Gospel of Matthew passage is about feeding the 5,000 plus women and children. From this miracle story of feeding the 5,000, we can also learn a correlated insight. Verse 15 from the Gospel of Matthew, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." However, Jesus' response is rather unexpected. In the next verse, verse 16, Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Yes, Jesus clearly instructs his disciples, "You give them something to eat." But their response represents human limitation, crisis, or lack of resources. Verse 17, they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Even though we think we have nothing, but we still have our 5 loaves and 2 fish. Isn't this critical situation similar to the widow from 2 Kings? She said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Again, even though we think we have nothing left, we still have a jar of oil. Remember, we believe in God who is astonishing. My sisters and brothers in Christ, God can multiply our humble 5 loaves and 2 fish and a jar of oil into more than abundant outcomes. Even though it is a small boy's lunch or a small jar of oil, for our astonishing God, miracles can happen. God can transform ordinary things into marvelous things. And God can empower our church with the Holy Spirit so that we can be an astonishing congregation. Amen? I guess not so sure. Let's try again. So that we can be an astonishing congregation. Amen? That's why we are called to keep pouring your oil. If we truly desire to be faithful to God, then what is your oil? Your oil might be anything you love, your heart, your commitment, and your faith represent. It could be your time, talent, treasure, gift, grace, fellowship, community, service, invitation, and everything else in your spiritual journey so that you can be an astonishing church. Whatever your oil might be, in many different ways, your oil can be and will be astonishing. Let's keep pouring our oil. Thanks be to God. Amen.